Greetings, sweet darlings. It's me, Duncan, and I'm in a business center at a condo in St. Simons Island, Georgia, and I don't want to be here, man. I don't like business centers. They're always kind of fucked up and sad places. The surfaces are always like yellowed, like teeth that haven't been taken care of for a long time. There's a general stink in the air. We've got discarded forms. You know what goes along with a business center, sadly, is what I'm imagining are like our senior citizens who don't recognize that you got to log out of your email when you log in to your email at a business center. I had to log someone out of their email. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine not logging out of your email at a business center? That's like leaving your dick at a glory hole and just going home and just coming back in a few days to get your dick. You don't want to do that. It's just to think that this person's email has just kind of been sitting here like some horrible data iceberg floating in the sick, depraved waters of this business center for anybody to come along and just sort of mush through all their stuff. I saw the emails, you know, the first page of emails, and I gotta admit, I was tempted to dig around in there. I've been watching Dateline, so the evil part of me, you know, that tries to come up with reasons to do awful things was like, well, you know, maybe they murdered someone and you should do a quick key phrase search like murder, which is so ridiculous. Like no murderer is going to like send an email. It's like, I murdered someone. I send an email to all their contacts saying I'm not a murderer, log them out, and that's it. They're safe now. But you can't trust a business center. I logged into my email. I already feel fucked. I feel like I'm ruined because I logged in, but I have to because I have to send these audio files, and I already know like probably some Portuguese pirate is like rifling through my email right now, just looking at it and stroking his fucking bloated, sunburnt pirate nipples, his long pirate tongue lapping against his greasy mustache. We've got a wonderful podcast for you today with someone who is incredibly special to me, my beloved. That's what the hippies will call their lovers, their beloved. I can't believe I just said it, but I mean it. I love her. She's one of the coolest people I've ever met in my life, and she managed to transform two of my cum blasts into the most incredible creatures I've ever seen in my life. She's inflated them with milk from her breasts. And that's one of the most incredible miracles I've ever seen. From cum to baby, then baby to boy via milk from your nipples. Like, are we really supposed to believe that we're not in a simulation when that's how humans come into existence? It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Erin Trussell is here with us. We're going to jump right into that. But first, some quick business. Much thanks to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of the DTFH. My loves, if you're thinking about creating a website, Squarespace is where you need to go. They've got everything you need. And I can go on and on, and I will go on for a little bit about the incredible things they offer. But the best thing for you to do to see the glory and power of Squarespace is to go to the best website on the internet, DuncanTrussell.com, and soak your eyeballs in the crackling light of that incredible website. Squarespace, what do you want to do? You want to make a website fast because you're in the midst of some kind of awesome caffeine-induced manic episode and you need a place to publish your manifesto? They've got what you need. You can get a website up in minutes. Or do you want to create a complex, beautiful thing like some kind of puzzle box summoned up by a necromancer from another realm, a thing of spirals and dials and buttons and nodules and codes and cryptograms, then you can do that too. You can go as deep as you want with Squarespace. They've got everything you need, including if you want to do email campaigns, you can apply Squarespace's powerful web design engine to sending emails to your clients or friends or family or lovers. Maybe you have a mailing list just for your lovers, which brings me to an essential point when it comes to making a website. It doesn't have to be for business. It can just be to glorify yourself or your friends. I mean, I look up web domains all the time and I'm always amazed by what is available. And I just looked this up. I'm offering it to you. You can take it. I'm not going to buy it, though I would like to. LeftMyDickAtAGloryHole.com is available. Can you believe that? You would think that would have gotten scooped up in the web domain bubble of the 90s. But no, it's just there for you to use. And here's what I think it could be used for. It could be used for some kind of awesome, sexy, hyper-erotic blog about your sexual escapades. It could be used as, you know, a thing for people who maybe did leave their dicks at glory holes and they want to get them back, just to kind of, you know, like a lost dog service, but for dicks. Or it could just be some kind of song and like a cool animation that makes the viewer have to like pair the two together, like makes the person who lands on it think, what does this Bulgarian lullaby have to do with left my dick at a glory hole? Or you could use it as a meme page, a t-shirt page. I mean, who wouldn't want to wear a shirt that says left my dick at a glory hole.com? I would, and it's there for you via Squarespace. All you have to do is go to squarespace.com/Duncan and use offer code Duncan, and you will get 10% off your first order of a website or a domain. Why not try out Squarespace? Just head over to squarespace.com/Duncan, use offer code Duncan, and you will get 10% off your first order of a website or a domain. Again, that's squarespace.com/Duncan. Use offer code Duncan and you'll get 10% off your first order of a website or a domain. Squarespace. I left my dick at a gloryhole.com. Get it today. And we are back, my sweet darlings. If you notice the sound of a leaf blower or some kind of gardening equipment outside, I'll tell you why it's there. It's because I've gone to a business center to record the intro for my podcast. And in the same way, if you splatter blood upon the ocean waves, you can expect sharks. If you start recording a podcast or music or anything that requires some kind of silence, you will summon a leaf blower. If you're in danger, maybe you find yourself in a place where you need help and your phone isn't working to call 911, just press voice memo and start recording a podcast. I don't care where the fuck you are. If you're in on a glacier floating in the middle of the fucking sea, a leaf blower person will show up, a scuba outfit will just, or maybe on a distant, not so distant that you can't hear it, but a glacier blowing ice off of the glacier. They just come. It is an inevitability. I could do the experiment and probably prove what dark matter is. Maybe it's dark matter. Maybe that's what dark matter is. Dark matter is all of the as of yet manifested leaf blowing people in the universe existing in a kind of superposition. And the moment you start recording, they pop into existence. And the moment you stop, they pop out. Listen, I want to invite you to join the DTF Patreon. It's more than a Patreon. It's a community. It's a coven. It's a cabal. An ever-expanding circumference of brilliant, fascinating, artistic human beings who hang out together on our Discord server. Don't go to the NSFW part of that server. It's really NSFW. And it's at patreon.com/DTFH. You sign up, you'll get access to our Discord server. You'll get commercial-free episodes of this glorious podcast. And every week we gather together for our Journey into Boredom, which is our meditation group that's been going on through the entirety of the pandemic, just about, and our family gatherings, which it's just where we hang out and yap, and they're super fun. You should try it out. If you don't like it, you could just cancel it, I think. It's at patreon.com/DTFH. All right, let's do this podcast. Today's guest is someone I actually married and have babies with. Can you believe that? I did that. I never thought I would do that. Then I met Erin, and she's here with us today. So everybody, please welcome the sweet angel of my family, Erin Trussell, to the DTFH. Welcome back to my podcast, O Sweet Wife. How you doing?
Pretty good.
I meant to tell you, I took Forrest to the playground today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm doing that game, like, what does the crow say? Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Caw! What's Einstein's general theory of relativity? E=mc², daddy." And then I said, "What does mama say?" And he goes, "I love you."
Oh,
I know.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Really?
And then I said, "What does daddy say?" And he said, "Very funny things. The most funny things anyone's ever said all the time."
Yeah.
Isn't he wonderful?
That's great.
Yeah. No, he said, I said, what does daddy say? And he goes, "I love you." Just like what you said, but like a little graspier.
No, he did.
Yes,
no.
He did. Yes, he did. I swear.
"I love you."
Yeah, it was like, that's how he hears me. You were this very sweet voice. Mine was as close as a toddler can get to a rasp.
He thinks you're a monkey.
Yeah, tell them this burn. My own this happened with my own child, burnt me yesterday.
Because I always make the joke that you're a monkey. I mean, we both make that joke about each other.
It's great.
It's really dumb. But my mom was watching Forrest, and a monkey came on the TV, and he goes, "That's daddy." And she's like, "What?" And he's like, "That's daddy. Ha 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 ha."
It's great. It's the coolest thing. All those, you know, that can only make me proud. Like getting roasted by him only makes me proud of him. Especially a distant roast to my mother-in-law.
I mean, of all people.
It's really a great, perfect joke. I mean, it's a perfect joke. It's less funny around us than it is around his grandmother.
I like that he adds in the ha 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 ha.
Yeah. I you know what? Yeah, I like that. I've noticed sometimes he also has taken up mocking us. Like if we're having a serious conversation, what does he do? What's the thing he does? We're having like a serious chat.
Oh, he goes, "No, it's when we're correcting him."
Yeah.
Or when we're like trying to discipline him.
He did it
him.
Once when we were just talking about like the mortgage or something.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. But he'll also do it when we're like trying to discipline him.
Yeah.
And he'll just, the disrespect.
The disrespect. And the thing is, like, you can't laugh. Like, you have to feign seriousness because you don't want to encourage, like, that, right? Like, that's the idea.
It's so hard not to laugh.
It's so hard not. I mean, this and, is.
Go please. Ahead. No, you go.
I was just going to say, it's like, to me, you like anytime you run into someone who's got like horrible manners,
yeah,
who's
exactly.
just generally rotten to be around. What happened is they were super cute, and their parents didn't have the ability to override how adorable they are,
yeah,
and impose any kind of structure.
You think of all the encounters you've had with just awful people in your life, and you feel that their parents all came to these crossroads where, like,
what do we do? I want to go to the beach with him. I want to go to the beach with him because it's fun. And I like watching him run around in the sand. But he just slapped his mother
yeah.
across the face.
Yeah.
And is refusing to say, I'm sorry.
I don't think it was across the face this time. Where but it doesn't really matter. He still hit
he
me.
He hit you.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, it's, I'm like, one thing that, like, you never want them to know is how much you yeah. will enjoy hanging out with them, regardless of how they're behaving. So you run into someone who is, like, a complete dick.
Yeah.
And probably what happened is their parents just wanted to be with them too much or didn't have the ability to. It's a really tricky thing being a parent.
Also, like I was telling you, watching someone like just disrespect you, the worst you've ever been disrespected, like just complete disrespect for you, but with your own face. It's your yeah. face, and it's just someone like,
yeah,
just like,
yeah,
disrespecting you yeah. with your face on their face.
Yes, you do a good job.
It's hilarious.
But you do it. This is the you do a really good job because he's the right now. It's getting better, but
I am not the preferred parent
right now. Toddlers will pick a parent that they prefer,
and it's almost always the mom.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
So
this is like a rare case,
right? And then, but then. I was feeling like legitimately bad about this, like bad for you. And I looked it up because I wasn't sure if it was an aberration. It's yeah. just normal.
Yeah.
They just do it. It doesn't even mean they prefer you.
No. Yeah.
It's like for toddlers, one of the things that they are looking for is some sense of autonomy, some kind of control, because when you're a baby, you don't have any control. You're just getting carried around like a sandwich, basically.
Yeah.
Why would I say like a sandwich?
A sandwich.
Like, I never carry sandwiches around. Like, it's not.
We don't even carry food around.
Why would I say
that? Type of people who carry food around.
Why would I say that? Like a sandwich. Like, it's some common thing, you know?
Like, you have a fucking baguette under your arm.
Yeah, you know, all the people you see when you're walking around carrying sandwiches. You know, like a sandwich. You can all relate to that. It's not even the same size.
So relatable.
Anyway, the point is, they don't have any control.
Well, I think I just, like, broke his heart a little bit when I had the next baby.
That
but
is
it's
true.
Like a necessary, you know, I wanted to break his heart in that way.
Yeah.
But I think it's been.
I mean, you didn't want to break his heart, but you didn't want him.
I did know that it would, in a way.
At first, actually. I didn't want to have the second one.
Yeah.
But then you explained to me age differences and, like, what that means.
You did. I think you did want a second one. Well, you had moments of, like, not being sure. But I think you wanted a second one. I think you weren't sure, like, when.
Well, that's true. That, exactly. I wanted a second one, but I just hadn't thought out the time.
I think you had moments where you didn't want a second one.
Well, I don't know. I just hadn't thought out the time thing. Like, you have to consider, when you're having the second one, you're thinking about, like, at some point the age difference becomes, like, it's going to be alienating a little bit to them. Like, if you do, like, the two-year age difference, they're more likely, hopefully, to be pals.
Well, that's why I prayed for another boy, because I just wanted them to be thick as thieves. I wanted him to have, like, a best friend for life, and, you know, we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you, this is one of the damnedest things you've ever seen. Dune, the youngest, he worships.
Oh my
forests.
God. It's like girls in the 60s when they, like, that footage when they, like, the Beatles would come.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. The way he looks at him.
Yeah.
Like, it's just the most amazing thing to see. The just awe in the way he, like, just studies forest, like eating cheese or,
oh,
like,
my God,
jumping around or, like,
just anything.
Rolling his truck around. It's like watching. It's the way I would look if, like, an actual UFO appeared.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
It's the sweetest. This episode of the DTFH has been brought to you by the greatest purveyors of CBD in the known universe, Feels. CBD isn't about what you feel, it's about what you don't feel. Stress, anxiety, pain, and feels is a better way to feel better. I use it for my insomnia. I use it when I want to chill out. I love it. This is premium CBD. I have been using CBD long enough that I used to have to smuggle it when I was going on tour. And that means that I've tasted a lot of different types of CBD, and some CBD tastes like some kind of freshly poisoned fairy is having projectile diarrhea all over your tongue. Just bitter and disgusting. Feels, tastes great. It's amazing. It's like just goes right into you. You place a few drop of feels under your tongue and you feel the difference within minutes. For me, it's like seconds. That's anecdotal, but whenever I take it, it's just like an instant effect. That's my own experience. They say you'll feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding your right dose is important, and everyone's dose is different. Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience so that you find your perfect dose. The Feels customer service team is dedicated to making sure you get the best use of your CBD. I tried them out and they're amazing. Also, when I started working with Feels, I talked to the folks who started the company, and they are really passionate about CBD because they understand just how incredibly powerful it is. And it truly is. I used to have to smuggle this stuff to my mom in the old days. Not Feels CBD, but CBD, because you weren't allowed to fly with it, which is just nuts. It's something that that an angel would give you in a beautiful glowing purple vial in some kind of wonderful dream that you were having. Joining the Feels monthly membership makes your self-care easy. You'll save money on every order, and you can pause or cancel at any time. Start feeling better with Feels. Become a member today by going to feels.com/Duncan, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feels.com/Duncan to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. feels.com/Duncan. Thank you, Feels.
I mean, I'm glad that you did give in to my procreation.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I did.
Urges.
I'm so glad I did. This kid is just like, for those of you who haven't held a baby in a while, they're just.
It's so good.
It's so good.
They smell so good.
And their energy. They're like.
It's God. It's like they have that God energy.
That's what it's like.
It's very like the portal. They're still like. They're between the veil in a way or something. Like, they're just sort of like, they're here and there.
You know what one of my friends said that who I have a lot of respect for, she said to me, God gives us exactly what we need. Yeah. God has a way of giving us the perfect gift.
Yeah.
And it sounds cheesy or whatever, but it's so true. Because, like, I've always loved, like, the stories of Krishna. And as a child, but I never understood it. And now I understand I don't think I could have. Baby Krishna. I'm too dim to have been able to wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
As a non-parent. But that's why that style of yoga is so brilliant, because it offers everyone a way to tune in. And like, for, you know, parents, it's like, oh, look, Krishna comes to you as a baby sometimes.
Yeah. And also our guru is a family guru.
Yes.
Which was like perfect.
Neem Karoli Baba. Yeah. He would send you away if you were having.
Send you to go reunite with your family, or make up with your family.
Or at least try.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he had kids.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. Yeah, and that's another thing. Before,
how many?
Like 300.
No,
I don't know the exact amount. I think one of them passed away recently. But this is another thing where that was before I had kids. That was always something where that I scrutinized a little bit.
What, breeders?
That he had kids.
Oh.
And now that I've had kids.
I mean, not anyone had kids, right?
But him especially.
Why? Because you just felt like gurus shouldn't be. Like have a family life.
Yeah. Because like, you know, that's one of the first things when you start thinking about gurus.
Because you're kind of supposed to like forsake your like worldly.
Absolutely.
Things and like ascend.
Yeah. You, I just.
Away
I,
from.
You set the... it up. I set up my own. That's what, that's one of the first blocks to you like meeting one of these beings is what you think they should be like. Cause what you think they should be like is what is it based on? Like for me, it's like a comic book, a character from Street Fighter. You know what I mean? Like Bill Murray in The Razor's Edge, some brief encounter with a Buddhist monk.
The Razor's Edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Somerset one.
That's that had
that movie. We it was garbage. Come
I
know, on.
But I watched it when I was a kid, and it got into my head.
But when we rewatched it, what did like, you
this
think?
This is shit. This is shit.
It's guys. Everyone listening to this should go and like have a watch of that. Get stoned. Get some drinks. Watch that movie. It is the most self-important.
Garbage.
Hilarious.
Dreck.
The first, okay, trigger warning on the first part of the film involves like child death.
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's like kind
of. I don't even remember that. I just blocked that out.
Yeah. I remember the girl, her like husband and kid dies.
I don't even remember that.
So then, so at first, it's like, and it's kind of serious.
Don't remember.
But then it just gets really dumb and self-important the from
part,
there.
I start. This is the part I remember. I remember him on a ship. All of a sudden, Bill Murray goes from, I think, either being like wealthy somehow or having inherited money to suddenly being on a ship, and it's like a series of like shitty jobs. And in each of these shitty jobs, he's like he starts really finding himself and. You know, when you're a kid.
Yeah, finding himself, but we're not really, that's not really, the way they portray him finding himself is like he just condescends everyone else.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Like, it's not like he does anything amazing. He's just sort of like looks down at everyone.
He like.
I mean, but it's a book, right? I didn't read that book. It's a book. I'm sure it's an amazing book.
I don't know.
I bet it is.
Supposedly, he made the Razor's Edge. He wrote The Razor's Edge. It shows one thing it shows about him is he has a real spiritual side to him because that's a heavy movie to decide to make.
Yeah.
The movie didn't come out because he ran into the big problem, I think, when you make any movie like that, which is like, how are you going to put spirituality in the real sense of the word into a movie that's about spirituality? Like, I think it emits out of like certain movies. Just because they're so good, like There Will Be Blood. That's an incredibly good movie that has a weird radiance to it. But if you try to do it, it's hard to do. And I think he had legitimately good intentions.
It's hard to do.
That's something Forrest says.
He says, it's hard to do.
I want to thank ZipRecruiter for sponsoring this episode of the DTFH. You know, when I first got to LA, I had about $10,000, which I spent on acid and synthesizers in about 3 months. And when it ran out, I needed a job. So I went in the paper and I applied for a telemarketing position. I called them up. Someone answered the phone, which I thought was weird. And they acted like they were incredibly interested in my completely weird description of what I could do. I wash dishes at Chili's and, you know, I like people. They invited me to come to an interview and I got there and realized I was in a cult recruitment center. There was a grease board. It had a weird pyramid drawn on it. There were lots of other people who had clearly also blown their money on acid and synthesizers. And so I left. And on the way out, somebody followed me out. He looked like Charles Manson in a suit. And he was like, look, you could change your life here, man. It was really creepy. And that's what can happen to you if you just go through like weird avenues to look for a job. ZipRecruiter knows that the general experience of looking for a job is pretty sucky. That's why they figured out a way to make it unsucky. When you sign up on ZipRecruiter.com, you can create a free profile. Then you get matched to great jobs, plus a lot more. ZipRecruiter will proactively pitch your profile to employers whose jobs match your experience. Unlike with other job sites, if an actual person from the company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply to their job. Candidates who are invited to apply on ZipRecruiter are nearly three times as likely to get hired. Plus, if you like the job, you can apply to it and many others with just one click. So it's super easy. Sign up for free on ZipRecruiter.com today and experience the better way to find a job. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com right now to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. Don't risk getting indoctrinated into a weird cult that will probably be a Dateline episode in 10 or 20 years. Go to ZipRecruiter today. Thanks, ZipRecruiter.
But you know what? I think what? One of my favorite viewing experiences to have with you and in your age, like the age that you are.
Oh, boy. Here we go. What?
Okay, just the age that you are. What? Like
Life Alert commercials?
No, you've been alive like long enough to have seen films when you were like a completely different person or super, yeah. super young or like, yeah, maybe you were high or like whatever. Yeah. And so you have them like remembered in your head. And like, so Duncan will like prepare me for like a viewing experience. And he'll be like, okay, like I remember the razors. And maybe I was even pregnant too, because that's why I remember the child loss thing so well. But anyway, yeah. But he'll be like, okay, I want to connect with you tonight. Like, I want to watch this amazing film with you.
It means so much to me.
Like, I want to watch it with you. And I'm like, okay, wow, and also, yeah, wait, like, this will be great.
Let me interject. There's also a little bit, I will admit, of me being like, and let me, you know, maybe show Aaron a spiritual parable here.
Because you're going to learn me something.
Yeah.
Because we're 20 years apart.
Yeah. And that's so a there's big age difference.
It's a big age difference. So sometimes, yeah, Duncan's going to learn me something. And as we say down in the South. But, and so what will happen is I'll be sitting there, like it'll start, the music will start, and then I'll be like,
it's the worst.
All right.
It's worst feeling, man.
I'm sitting there, and then, you know, we've had fights about stuff where I've been like too flippant about stuff you like. So like, yeah, I'll sit there and I'll be like, mm-hmm. Like
Monty Python. Wait, hold on. Cause it's just so I can, just let me speak up for myself. Your disdain for Monty
it's
Python.
It's terrible.
Okay. That's unforgivable.
It's
to me.
Not funny. I will never, I'm so sorry.
I will never forgive you for that. That's,
there's only one funny thing I liked from that.
What?
And it's like, bring out your dad. That's funny.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah, that's funny. There's like one. There's like 1% of what funny.
Are you a king?
No.
How do you know I'm a king? Because you're not covered in shit.
No, that's not funny. That's not funny at all.
Okay, let's skip over that. Get back to my rose with the razor's edge.
So anyway, not just the razor's edge. Like, we have this experience.
You lost a lot of fans just now. You're gonna get canceled for that.
Okay, I'm fine with that. But so anyway, I'll just sit there for a while and then.
We're Knights of the Round Table.
No. So anyway, we'll just sit there for a while and I'll feel Duncan, like, I'll feel him go through.
That's just a rabbit. You didn't even get that far with a rabbit.
I've seen like all of them now. You've like forced me. Okay. I'm just gonna abandon my story.
No, go
then.
Ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just, so I see you like cycle through the, I see you like things starting to, like, I see the red flags starting to go off with you slowly. And I will just kind of sit there quietly until like you're ready to start making fun of it with me.
Okay.
But there's like these sad moments where you're like trying to like it.
You just sit there quietly, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. That's such bullshit.
Quiet as a mouse.
You immediately started flaying the razor's edge. You know what it was? Because the opening. is like, I think it's got like a weird long
okay,
open.
I don't like yeah, a 30-minute open. It's just excessive. And like, it's so, as like a film, it's such a pretentious choice. Like a
God,
it
right.
is. Like a 10-minute opening, it's like, fuck you, I'm already pissed off.
But it's also
now.
Got, it's doing like classic Hollywood symphony music.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's like, new, 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 new.
The razor's edge. And you're, but
it's like a sunset over a grass.
But
hill.
I have to admit, when I was young and I saw that, I thought it was the ultimate depiction of yeah. what it must be like to be enlightened. Which is why that shit is so dangerous, you know, because...
Enlightened.
Because people imitate, God. You know, people imitate. It's easier. You know what I just... Actually, I just saw this great show, Kim Trump a quote, which is, it's easier to act like it... It's easier to act like you're holy than it is to be sane. Hmm. And, you know, and so like... That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
For sure.
Yeah, it's easy.
100%. Love that quote.
Yeah.
That's good. Am I the only person who doesn't want to be enlightened?
See, I mean, well, I think anybody with any kind of like healthy...
A brain.
healthy attitude towards life, when they hear about enlightenment or anything, they just kind of like, oh, whatever.
Yeah,
it just
yeah.
seems like another thing. You know, it doesn't, if you're having a, I think if your incarnation is sort of at a great place, then why would you even, and also anybody who like, who it would be someone who could even talk about enlightenment, like Chogyam Trungpa, they just say things like he says it's the final disappointment, or he calls it.
Yeah. That's like the whole thing.
Ordinary.
Yeah.
So it's not.
Buddhism seems like one big disappointment.
Well, I mean, it's I think the final disappointment is the cool part of that, which is just sort of, it is, but I do think there's something.
Like the disappointment is the point.
Well, or just, I think life can be pretty disappointing. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, we just saw a wonderful film, which I think actually speaks to this. It's what? Called A Feeling of Home.
No. It's really, really, really good.
It's on the Hallmark Channel. Erin and I, when I'm not trying to man view her with some kind of fucking movie that meant something to me when I was in college.
Which I do like, though. Like, you've shown me some really great movies.
Thank you.
Like, I never saw Fly.
You never saw Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
No.
So, like, I have introduced some good horror.
Fly, right? With
The Fly.
The Fly.
Yeah, that's a damn good Cronenberg.
Yeah, so good. And I never would have seen that or even heard of it.
Erin actually has a very great taste when it comes to most things.
Most things.
No one has great taste in everything, but you have really good
but
taste.
But maybe not our bathroom.
No.
We can talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later. I think you're being too hard on yourself with that. Like, we don't know yet is a thing. You okay. just have to. And anyway, how are you going to learn to do that shit unless you.
Yeah.
The only way to learn that stuff is by making mistakes. We'll get to that later.
We'll
it's
get
so
to that
boring.
Later. It's so dumb.
It's so boring. But one one of the things that we like to do together is watch Hallmark Channel yeah. movies. And I think it's fair to say Johnny Pemberton introduced me to this genre with this movie called Christmas Lodge.
Yeah.
Which is...
And honestly, whenever we stop watching the Hallmark movies, like a little bit of light goes out of my life. And when we start again, I like feel so good. And that
so
makes
good.
Me like genuinely feel connected to you and like super happy
well,
to watch them.
And you know, it's because like I think Erin and I have a spiritual part of us. But I think there's a part of us that's like weirdly nihilistic or something. Like there's
really dark.
A shadowy, dark aspect to us that's like... It's really, really, really absurd. We're absurdists or something. And then we get really dark. But that dark.
We love hypersincerity.
Yes. So the Hallmark. So you can't fake what the Hallmark movies are doing. Like you can't like. And I think Will Ferrell made an attempt. You saw that. Will Ferrell and. Oh, you haven't seen that yet?
What is it?
He tried to make one and they just made a sincere Hallmark Channel movie. No, it wasn't funny. Let's watch they tried it to. Did, I love Will Ferrell. He did not.
It didn't work. Because
you can't.
No, you can't. You can only do it if you're like authentically doing it.
And yes, that's it. And I think you probably have to get.
You can't do it in jest or in like ironic hipster shit.
No, you have to. There's no way in. Yeah. It can only be made by the people who make it. And the people who make it. I mean, I don't understand. I was looking at some of the shots and just thinking like, they're definitely puking in between takes. Like it's so, so sentimental and so like, and just to name your film a feeling of home to me is like, what it's does that crazy. Mean? It it's sounds crazy. Like a crazy person. It sounds something someone out of their mind would say, like, I'm in a feeling of home.
Another thing we'll do is force people to watch the Hallmark movies with us. So, like, at Christmas, like, our family will be there. Like, my mom, her husband at the time, like, who's just a person who would not understand why we would watch these. Like,
let it roll. Put it on.
Yeah, like my brother, like we'll just subject our entire family to like a viewing of these movies. Yeah. And then Duncan and I are in the corner like cackling the whole time while that people are just like sitting there like trying to politely view it.
And we look like complete dicks. We look like
psychos.
Why not just show like, to me, like there's a few go-to things I show guests. I show them Stuck in Mud.
No, Stuck in Mud's like the end of the night. It starts with like, what does it start with?
Well, you have to find Stuck in Mud.
You have ones before that. You'll show some other stuff.
Maybe like warm them up with some UFO videos or something.
Yeah.
And then finally it gets to like people in front of.
Maybe a couple like Doug Pound videos.
Pound House I'll go to. And then
warm them up,
and then it gets like someone in a gimp suit with like sewage fetish, spraying on their face.
Yeah, fetish mud videos, which yeah.
But I place these Hallmark movies on the same level of disturbing.
Oh, Tapper Dan.
I'll show Tapper Dan.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, I do not show Tapper Dan cynically. I like Tapper Dan. Tapper Dan to me is like a really powerful lo-fi artist. Like he reminds me of an outsider artist. Yeah. I really do love Tapper
Dan. He's got Daniel Johnson vibes.
Yeah. Tapper Dan's great. He's like, look him up. He's into wrestling, but also he's learning how to dance and he films himself at malls doing
he's
this.
He's cool.
And he does it to the same song, or at least a lot of them are to that.
Yeah.
Are you sitting on a na 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 na? You know the song I'm talking about?
I do.
Waiting for somebody to show. Na, na. Anyway, I like those. They relax me.
I know. But those are that's your playlist.
That's my playlist. But the Hallmark
Usually
Channel movies.
We ending with the mud around 10:30, 11 p.m. at the latest.
Yeah.
And then we go upstairs.
Upstairs. And I'm going to stop doing it.
And that's a party night.
But I've started realizing like people don't understand when I'm showing. Emil got me into the mud videos.
Yeah.
Stuck in Mud.
Of course.
He showed those to me.
Yeah.
But I realize now when I'm showing people that they're like, are you in? Like, you like this.
I was wondering that the last time you showed my friend Gray was over staying with us. And I wondered that in the back of my mind. I was like, is some part of him, like, not outwardly, but does some part of him like this?
I was wondering it too.
You were?
Yeah. Like, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, like, I kind of like it. Like,
But we could do some mud play if you want.
I don't never want to do mud play. Because
you might like it if I did mud play.
No, I don't want to do any mud play.
If you watched.
I don't want you in mud. I did.
No?
Babe, I did.
What if I was with someone else in mud? This is getting explicit now.
Like if I was a mud cuck?
No, like another girl.
No, I mean.
Like wrestling.
I don't want you
in
another.
A mud cuck. Hashtag mud cuck.
I would.
No, but I do wonder. Like I do feel like part.
The whole, okay, let me, you with another girl in mud. that's cheesy to me, because that's kind of like people who are like, let me eat whipped cream off your boobs.
Yeah, you've that never shit. Been in, you do not like food play.
I don't like you've play never attached understood. To anything involving fucking. I've never
that
liked
is that.
That
is not true.
I don't like the term.
Okay, but you like play.
I don't like to call it play.
Okay, but...
I mean, it just sounds creepy.
Semantics.
Play sounds like the same person who is like, let me do...
But you've never liked food activities.
I like the word fetish
at all.
Than
okay,
play.
Food fetish.
Let's do food play.
But you've never been into food.
I'm an adult. I want to spray whipped cream into your tits. I don't want to like play frisbee.
You're not hungry. You don't need a snack.
Let's do a food play.
But you don't like. For the record, you do not like food fetish activities.
I tried it. Anyone out there who likes it, I'm not bashing you. It's just not my thing. It's
you
like,
did try it.
Who hasn't tried it?
I don't think I have. Oh yeah, I have. Okay, yeah. I have.
It adds.
Maybe I have once.
You know what?
But not really.
I think at some point I was talking about it.
I think I was trying to get you to do it.
No, I think someone just like in a very kind way. I don't remember where it's from. So just someone said like that's how you give your lover a yeast infection.
For sure.
Because just don't do it.
But I mean, it doesn't have to go in the pussy.
Yeah, but if it gets
other places.
Yeah, but I mean, it's probably going to end up in your pussy.
I guess.
You
Maybe.
Know,
and somehow, yeah.
But
yeah,
if
yeah.
the whole time you're just thinking, like, I hope I don't get a sugar in her vagina.
You want to eat some ice cream out of my ass?
Yeah. I don't like any form of that.
You want Ben and Jerry's?
I will eat ass, but I don't know why we have to get ice cream in there. Like, just.
It's yummy.
I don't know. It's
you just like to keep your separation of like, church and state.
I always feel fat, kind of. Like, I have a body problem. So just like now I'm going to add that to eating.
Well, you're not fat.
So if I'm
you're
eating
beautiful.
Your ass and now I'm eating ice cream, I'm thinking like, what are the calories in this? I'm thinking like, you know, I'm probably pre-diabetic.
You have guilt eating anyway.
I don't want to go into diabetic
like
shock.
When you're eating a treat, it's already like a guilty exercise for
one
you.
Of my nice little baggages.
Yeah. Well,
I don't have, by the way, like my
you're
bags.
You're not fat.
I don't, it's not, you know, anybody who has like that body problems, it's not like they really, you're like, I'm really fat or not fat. You're just like, it doesn't matter. We're not going to get into that because a lot of people out there feel.
Well, you're a very, very sexy man.
And I've had very sweet people try to like, in a really smart way, like, can like connect to me at that level. People who've also gone through that shit when they were a kid, and like it's very sweet. And I get the whole
when they've gone through food play.
As it no
as a kid.
No, you God Jesus, you demon. No,
I'm
people
just kidding. I'm just
a
kidding.
Lot of kids get bullied and shit, and then you end up with some kind of body issues and
yeah.
It's hard for you to like feel good with your shirt off. And I'm a never nude.
You are never nude. And it's funny because I'm a nude.
You are. Well, yin yang.
Yeah. So it's like very... I'm actually so much a nude, it's going to be a big problem. Because we have two boys. So it's like, I'm going to have to get clothes.
You can't be that mom.
Oh my God. I do not want to be that mom.
You can't.
And I know someone who's had that for a mom. And like, they are super fucked up.
Let me tell you. I had a friend whose mom was fucking hot. And she would go around with almost nothing on and a robe when we were over. And that was like... at least 30% of the reason you would go to that guy's house.
Yeah.
Because
probably knew it.
How do you not know it? Like all the
it's
boys
like
are
14-year-old boys.
I know. It was and it,
no,
like,
I'm going to be covered up. I'm going to be turtleneck.
Burka.
Because I'm going to be a young mom.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm going to be the young mom.
You're going to be the young mom. I'm going to like come yeah. by like Lady Chatterley's lover. I'll be in a wheelchair. Like my
no.
hand shaking. Oh, where's my rash cream?
I'm going to keep you young, baby.
Anyway, here's the point. Like in The Razor's Edge
mm-hmm.
and A Feeling of Home
yeah.
are both trying to convey a deep spiritual truth, which was embodied in, spoiler
which
alert.
Which one?
It was embodied in, I think, one of the last lines in A Feeling of Home, which is, I can't remember her name, the star, she's a blogger.
Which they called a web, what was it? A web entrepreneur. She's a vlogger is actually what she's doing.
She's a vlogger. And
they call on the Hallmark description, it says web entrepreneur.
She's a web entrepreneur. Now, her job, she makes these videos of like menus and stuff. And I guess she's been living this lie because she says that she's from New England. Mm-hmm. But really, she's from Texas. And so she's gone home to her dad, who seems like maybe he's 6 years older than her. The casting literally is so weird. And speaking
like
of casting,
maybe less of an age difference than we have.
Than us. And he's in a, I mean, I could be your dad. That's yeah. true. I could easily have been
in
your dad.
In some ways you are.
I am your dad. I mean, I teach you about great films.
Yeah.
Like a good dad.
You are.
And when you're bad, I
you spank me.
Like a good dad would.
Daddy.
Now, everyone
delete,
just stops.
Everyone just
audio is gonna be like, well, you we don't canceled. Understand. Like before this episode, we were getting a lot of downloads. After this episode, we're getting like 4 downloads an episode. Anyway, the point is, a feeling of home ends with a brilliant line when the protagonist, I can't remember her name, the vlogger, has made the decision, as generally happens in many Hallmark movies, which is a woman with a career who has gone to a city, goes home, meets some dude there.
No, not meets. Reunites.
Reunites with an old love.
Yeah.
Generally either abandons her career or finds a way to bring the career
to the home. To the home. Generally abandons.
Generally abandons. But in this case, the woman, like the final line she says to her old lover is, do you remember the line?
In time, maybe this could amount to something. Like that's the line leading up to their big kiss.
That's like...
Like I think if I had said that to you when we were like getting to get, like when we were in our big love story in the beginning, I think you would have been like, oh shit, okay, well maybe like...
I would just be like, you're a fucking android. Who even
no,
said that?
No, you'd be like... I guess this isn't like the right time for this.
Yeah, I would think that. In time, maybe this will amount to something.
But that's supposed to be like the big line.
That's like the big, like, what's the line in Titanic when they have their arms stretched out?
I'm the king of the world.
Yeah, that's the I'm the king of the world of. That is that line in A Feeling of Home is in time, maybe this will amount to something. But what it and A Razor's Edge have in common, and as a lot of really great existential films have in common, is it's not really an ending. It doesn't wrap itself
mm-mm,
up.
No, and they never really do.
That's the commentary.
And it's so good.
Yeah. It's not trying to like, that's what's so weirdly sophisticated about A Feeling of Home. Is
yeah.
It's not trying to seal the
to
envelope.
Wrap anything up.
Leaves it wide
it's just
open.
Like,
we don't know.
We'll kind of wrap a few things up, but like the rest is open.
Yeah, and let's face it, she's not going to stay around that fucking Texas town. She's going to go back to
and
wherever
the dad
she is
talks
from.
Like, he's either talking like Tom Waits or like he does like this.
This is his attempt to, I can't, doing a southern accent. It's
yeah,
like a
but he changes his accent like over 30 times.
Yeah, sometimes he does a job where he's doing one of these. And the really fucking like spooky thing about a lot of these Hallmark movies is their daddy issue city. Like she keeps mm-hmm. saying to her, like you get, I don't know if y'all have ever been to like a traditional wedding. Have you ever been to
yeah,
one?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Where the dad gives away. That yeah. has got to be the most.
But to be fair, you did ask my dad for permission.
And your mom.
Yeah. And my mom. But I'm just saying.
I know, but I wasn't like, we didn't, yes.
If we'd had a wedding, we probably, if we hadn't have eloped.
Yeah.
And we didn't have a complete amazing hippie bonanza like we did, we probably would have done that, to be fair.
I don't.
My dad probably would have like walked me down the aisle. Ugh.
I don't mind the walk down the aisle. I was at a wedding once.
She's yours now.
Yeah. And the dad did a long speech and it was weirdly sexual. You know, yeah. It's like
I've watched you grow with those knobby knees.
You went from knobby
now
knees to...
Now you got bows on your hair. Now there's bows on your brassiere.
Yeah, like the exactly like that. And the fucking dude who the...
And everyone just like, oh.
They're crying and like, but it's just like...
I always cry at a wedding.
Some part of me wanted to fuck her, but I couldn't. And I guess you'll fuck her for me for the rest of her life. It's so creepy.
And put up with her bullshit. I hate that thing where the dads are like,
welcome to hell, little fella.
That.
You might as well have tied a scorpion to your dick.
If she's anything like her mother, I fucking hate that bitch. Like, okay.
I guess you had a choice between her and a spinning saw blade. Because I don't know why you'd marry this dumb bitch who I made. It's crazy.
It's literally like that. Anyway, A Feeling of Home, definitely watch it. Is it working?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
A Feeling of Home is fantastic. Any Hallmark, I mean, I think someone out there, maybe one of you academic friends, you got to do like a, I think someone could do a thesis on it. Like, because there's so many recurring themes in them that are implicitly misogynistic and implicitly capitalistic.
Maybe not a thesis, but maybe like a podcast.
You could do a podcast, an analysis.
A thesis sounds boring.
Well, but I think it's worth, I mean, it's like, because the, like, I think, they are boring.
Make it digestible.
Make it, or, you know, it's also like a hot take article, if you want to do a hot take article.
Like Medium article.
Yeah. An assessment of phallic symbols in Hallmark movies would be perfect because they all have like...
Oh my God. That was the other thing.
Let's go through the phallic symbols in A Feeling of Home.
I can't now.
I remember everyone.
I remember like...
Stick shift.
The churning something. There was like something he was churning.
He was churning his fucking barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
So he's in every...
Just
like
really a lot of phallic symbols.
A lot of things that look like dicks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times the thing that looks like a dick is being moved between the father and the future son. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like, here, I give you my dick, you know, or my dick doesn't work anymore. You will have the young dick that works. And like a lot of the woman being like, I don't know how to handle this dick. You know what I mean? Like riding a tractor. I don't know.
It's hard to do.
Don't do our fucking son. Jesus Christ. Anyway, if you're looking for wonderful nihilism, Hallmark movies are the way to go for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're looking for like an idea, a depiction of, you know, an attempt at what I think what a lot of people really do think spirituality looks like, which is aloofness, like being aloof.
Right, but it's, yeah, no.
What do you, because you, we both agree that when you're with a kid, it's like being around God or a guru or something. But if you had to describe it, how would you describe it?
I think it is God. Like, I really do think it's a window into
the other
to
realm.
Heaven.
You think that's what heaven is? Yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I really think that. Like, you can see it shining through them.
Yeah, because how could it be better?
I feel like I'm with... I think it is. I think God, like, stays with them for a while. Or
I think
something.
And then eventually it's like, see you later. You're on your own, motherfucker.
Maybe.
No.
Not like abandonment, but just sort of like... I don't know.
Well, you know,
there's something that just, like... I don't want to say wears off, but it's just like, and it's not like bad like that. Like, it's not like it wears, you know, but you know what I mean? Like
covered up.
Or, yeah, I don't know. That sounds negative too. Like, I don't think it's negative. I think it's like this really beautiful process. But yeah, I don't know. There's something to it.
That was what was cool about Ram Dass to me, is like
he had that newborn glow.
Yeah, but he was old.
You want it, so like, because I've had babies now, like that feeling when they, like, when each of my children have been put on my chest after I've given birth to them, like, That's how I felt every time I was with Mom Toss.
Yeah.
Like, where you, wow, that weeping feeling. Yeah. That's how I felt every time I would be with him, which is hard. It could be hard to be with him because of that.
Yeah. He loved you. Help me understand this, Aaron. This is something I always wondered about, because the last time we got to hang out with him at that table. A
few weeks before he died. So actually, we were so, so blessed to have. I'm like moving. Is this going to be?
No, it's okay. Okay. Help me understand this. This is something that I've been trying to decode in my mind. And sometimes I get really neurotic about it, and sometimes I think I get it. But we're sitting at this table with Ron Dawson. He's like, at that point, he's not like in a place where he's talking, but he's there.
He was just as present as ever. It's not like, even though it was a few weeks before he died, he wasn't like worse for wear.
He had aphasia, you know, so it took him longer to speak.
Yeah, but remember that last time we saw him, it's not as if he was like, he didn't seem like ill.
Oh, no.
Like, yeah, it was like beaming.
Beaming.
It was like, yeah.
So he's doing this thing where he's looking at Aaron and he's giving you this bright Ram Dass smile. And then he's looking at me with the most stern expression. And that was like my last encounter. Well, no, it wasn't, because it was the Mala ceremony, and it was very sweet with us there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
Yeah.
But what was he saying there? He was saying something. What was he saying?
Probably like, just give me all the babies and be so nice to me forever and ever.
Oh, I think that is what he was saying. I would get jealous.
Probably just give me anything I want.
You think he was saying that?
Yeah.
I think he was mocking you. No, you and him.
You were jealous?
I wanted him to beam at me too.
He beamed at you. He adored you.
I adored him.
He loved you.
I loved him.
He was so, it was more than that. Like, he felt like you were doing a real service to the community.
I don't know about that.
At large. He did. Remember when he stopped you and he said, thank you for getting this message out to the young people?
Don't you miss him?
So much. It's going to be weird to be at the retreat.
I know.
Without him.
No, can we even?
I think so.
Well, we don't. We heard.
We don't know
maybe,
if the retreat's happening.
Maybe we heard. Maybe it's gonna.
If it happens,
or maybe it will. I don't think. Look,
I miss him so much.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was like hit. I'm still hit by like grief waves.
Me too.
With that, our community just like reeled from that, and it was even though it was like the most expected death.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, like every retreat we did have, we were like, this is probably the last one, but it was still like, it was intense.
But I love the story. Talking to Lakshman now on Insta, like, you know, talking to people who are with him, and it's just hearing the stories, and like, we all are trading stories. And
We haven't been with our satsang in a long since the last retreat.
Pandemic, man.
So we're gonna, when we like all come together again, I think he will be like very much present in all of that.
I do too.
Yeah,
I
will
do
make
too.
Him really happy.
We're gonna be slipping on tears at that thing.
Oh God, it's gonna be
a weeping.
I mean, we're already like a weeping mess in just. Normally,
yeah, but now that's gonna
it's
be
just
like
full of all these like synchronicities and all these things that are just over the top and annoying to like even talk about. Like at the mala ceremony, someone gave Duncan an extra mala bead, and we're like, we don't need one, we have one, and they're like, it's for the baby,
yeah.
And we had been like arguing at that point if we were gonna like do another one right then, and
yeah.
Just all these things.
Yeah.
And then tell the vision of, and you got a vision there once.
Well, I had.
You saw our family.
I had a moment there where, I mean, this, I don't know. I mean, again, like, I think these miracle stories are great. And I, but.
Oh, what? People can take them or leave them.
Okay,
who cares?
Okay. So, I don't know. I just had this, like, you know. I've had a few like things. I don't know any other way to put them.
Yeah.
But vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I know why. I understand that word, because the word sounds a little lofty, but it really is just like, it's something you see. It's a vision. It's a thing that appears in front of you. One of them was during Krishnadas singing Kirtan when I had lost my mom.
Yeah.
And I was singing and going into that like trance you get into with the Kirtan. And it's psychedelic and it's it's beautiful. You just, and like, I was like, I had my eyes closed. Maybe I was stoned. I don't remember. I was seeing fractals and like, but all of a sudden I was just back with my mom in St. Simon's where we're at right now. And I heard her say, we had fun, didn't we?
Yeah.
And now, having kids, I know exactly what she meant.
Yeah.
And that is what, if you get a chance to say something to someone on this side of the veil, that's a great thing to say. And
I think we have fun.
Well, yeah, we have fun with our kids. It's the most fun I've ever had. But the other one, which was wild for me, was that it was like I was looking at this beautiful picture of Neem Karoli Baba they have there. And it was like he was showing me, like, I want to give you this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me at the beach with, like, someone and kids. And I remember at the time I was like, I don't know.
With so many kids.
Three.
The thing about us, Duncan is like a reluctant breeder, and I'm like the ultimate breeder. I'm like, I would have literally like five kids.
That's not,
which we're not. I know. But it's good. We balance each other out. It would be like, it's good. But he's getting upset.
Well, no, it's not. I'm getting upset. No. But it was a cool thing because at the time I wasn't in a place where that made any sense at all.
Yeah.
And also, I don't think I was in a place necessarily where I would have thought of that as any kind of gift.
But I didn't think I wanted to like have kids like this. I definitely didn't think I would want like more than two kids. Like, it's just, you just inspired that in me.
Well, it's not, when you get around all, like, you know, I just think I understand coming from a family where a lot of people had a lot of challenging karma.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're born into that kind of place, it's easy to model. That's what families are. And so when you hear people talk about family, you're not like getting all warm and fuzzy. You're like, ooh, you mean like the time I had to like numb out for a decade to not go insane?
Right.
Thing like that. You know, so when you heat, so naturally you're like, fuck that. I'm going to do everything in my power to never have to go through that. Again, I think for a lot of people, that is a very healthy reaction because it could be that if you decide to start a family, and we've kicked up patterns and we've experienced.
No, I was just going to say, that's not to say that we don't struggle because like being married is very difficult and having a like parenting young children is very difficult. So
demons just
maintaining your marriage in parenting is extremely difficult.
And if you don't have a model for that,
which we really didn't.
No,
we didn't at all.
But we have the satsang, and you have like a support network that is there for you in a different way.
Yeah.
So you can do it, maybe. But like, but you know, I do. Now that I'm getting to experience the warm glow of it, and like now it's like another book opens up where you're like, oh shit, that's what they're talking about.
I think at the end of the day, like it has been really hard with us. Like we got married really fast and we just did it all. We just went like balls to the wall and we just really
ball. Ball to the wall for me.
We one just ball. Yeah, one ball. But and sometimes it's like really, really hard. But thinking about like having fun, like we had fun, didn't we? I mean, I really couldn't do it with anyone else.
No way. Not in a million years.
It definitely had to be you.
Yeah, you couldn't do it with anyone else.
Even though we drive each other crazy.
You couldn't do it with anyone else. You couldn't.
No way.
Not you. You couldn't do it with anyone else.
Not me.
I could do it with many.
You could?
No, I'm making a bad joke. You know what I was thinking? This is the other thing you think about God. Everyone's just like, Jesus Christ.
Well,
do you think people are vomiting now?
I was just going to say, we're for sure soulmates. just to make it worse, even more vomiting. But that doesn't make it easy.
No, God, no. You know what I was thinking earlier? Because I'm like, just like, I've got serious fucking dad pride right now.
It's so wonderful to watch and so great.
But I was thinking to myself, like, God, imagine like if you had the bad luck of going back in time and waking up as yourself before you meet the person and before, like, I was just thinking, like, you would have to try to remember every time you jerked off.
What? I don't get it.
Well, because you would
meet the person.
In other words, like, yeah, but I'm just saying, like, say I went back 2 years before or a year before meeting you, even 6 months,
yeah,
even 3 days.
Yeah.
I would have to try to remember every time I came.
Why?
Because I would want to be able to come in you at the exact same time with the exact same cum to make Forrest.
I think it's a little more than that, too. We've got some eggs in the mix here.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't have any control of your eggs. All I'm saying is, like, I was just thinking, like, my God, if you were...
You just needed it to go exactly the way it did. Yes. Even though it would have been easier if we had, like, had a longer courtship and, like, gotten to know each other better. Yeah. And, like, yeah, and, like, all of that.
But you couldn't... Yeah, but you look, when you are experiencing it, you just think, my God, like, that's how you understand what... When they talk about grace... That's how you understand it, because you realize there's no way I could make this happen. I couldn't ask for it because I didn't know I wanted it.
But there was no way it could not. It was going to happen. Like, everything
right.
in that was going to happen. Yeah. I mean, Duncan, we, like, were just, it was like, we just, like, laid eyes on each other, and it was just, that was it.
It was very magnetic.
Done.
But, yeah. She, like, when she met me for the first time, she didn't even look me in the eyes. She looked down at my crotch and said, please, let me suck your dick. Please, I just want to suck that cock. But you know what's weird?
When the night I met Duncan, all of my friends were there, and, like, two of my ex-boyfriends were there, which was really weird.
But anywhere we went.
It was almost like the gap. Fuck you.
Anywhere we went, you always had an ex-boyfriend around.
I mean, that may be true.
You can't walk 5 feet through Silver Lake without running into one of your ex-boyfriends.
How fucking dare you? That's actually not true. However, that's not true.
When we were in the house, you'd have to drive our ex-boyfriends out from under the house.
We did. We ran. We had a small group of friends is what it was.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
We had a... Yeah. But what happened on the night we met, I asked to walk you outside to your Uber in front of all our friends.
Yes, you did.
It was a big power move.
Was that a power move?
I mean, that's a pretty big power move. Like, there was no reason to walk a grown-ass 44-year-old man to his fucking Uber.
You don't have to
Uber.
Say my age.
Well, that was your age.
You could say there's no need to walk a gentleman to his car.
Or 43 at the time, I guess.
Young. A sparkling
There's
laugh.
No need to walk a...
A gentleman.
A... Comedic
an old crust.
Genius.
Ah, thank you.
You're welcome. That. To his car, to his Uber.
Glad you did.
Very unnecessary.
Glad
I
you did.
I did it as a hit on you.
It worked.
On you.
But then I didn't even get your number.
Yeah, but you asked to kiss me.
I did.
And that was the cool thing. Neither of us asked for each other's number.
I had to find you.
Well, isn't that hard? It's not.
I hired a private detective, and I was like, I met this girl. She walked me to
we
her Uber.
We had like 16 mutual
no,
friends.
No, I had a private detective. I said, I met this girl. She walked me to
what
her
was it?
Uber.
One
and he goes, oh, you mean Aaron? She does that with every like hipster comedian in Silver Lake.
Bullshit.
I'm just kidding.
Bullshit.
You didn't.
No.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for doing my podcast.
You're welcome. Are All we right. done?
We're done.
Did we get it?
We got it.
Okay.
All right, everybody. You can find Erin Trussell on OnlyFans. Her name is Princess Diamond. Bye, everyone. Say bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That was my dear wife, Erin Trussell. And a big thanks to our sponsors, ZipRecruiter, Squarespace, and Feels. Do support them because they support us. Thank you all so much for listening to the DTFH, and I will see you next week, which is a 2-episode week. I love you. Until then, Hare Krishna.